CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Zuckerman. His new book is A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine. All these men and women who are alerted in January of 2020, where do they come from? We go first to Moderna, which is itself a combination of pursuits, anxieties, pride, accident. We take Moderna and we come down to one man, Stefan Bancel, who's born in Marseille. Gregory, this is an outsized personality. He's not a scientist. How is it that Bancel comes to run the company called Moderna? What is his life's ambition? What is his style?
So, John, the reason I began writing this book is I became so fascinated by this guy, Bancel, and his firm, and how unlikely it was that Moderna should be the one to step up and save millions of lives. So Stefan Bancel, as you say, is not a scientist. He's an engineer, Harvard MBA. He starts, he becomes the CEO of this startup called Moderna. And they're dedicated, they're focused on developing messenger RNA, this molecule, using it to develop either drugs or vaccines or both. And for years they struggle. And for years, Stefan Bancel is hard on his employees. He pushes them. He drives them to the point where people literally are collapsing. I write about it in the book, in the parking lot, in the office, at home, hitting their heads, being rushed to emergency rooms or trying to keep up with the guy, and they're having difficulties. He fires people. He's hard on people. He's not very especially complimentary. He's got ups and downs. He becomes very emotional. Sometimes he's celebrating and sometimes he's despondent when they have setbacks. And he in some ways is a kind of a Steve Jobs kind of character. He inspires people at the same time. His belief is that Moderna can save lives and they're going to be the ones in the next crisis to do so. And people on the outside are skeptical. They don't believe him. He seems a little bit like a Elizabeth Holmes kind of character, a salesman, raises tons and tons of money, but they're very secretive as a firm. People on the outside are very suspicious. And we get to the point in to the end of 2019 where they had gone public. The stock is down. They're starting to cut costs. The pressure is building on Bancel and his firm, and they still have not proven to the world that they can develop either a vaccine or a drug that's effective and protective.
The doubts were because of messenger RNA. And Gregory takes us back to the beginning of this story. If there is a beginning, it's really a conversation held over many years between schools, between researchers, between what are called labs. When you get a grant, you set up a lab and you hire assistants. Messenger RNA was always seen as a possibility for fooling the body to think that you can let us in. You don't have to fight us. We've got something new for you. We can train you so you can resist a virus. But it was easily rejected. It was very difficult to introduce. And you introduce us to two researchers. I want to bring them in, Gregory, because they can get lost in the swim here. Carrico and Weissman, who first meet at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital in the 20th century, and they believe in messenger RNA, but nobody else does. I get the feeling, Gregory, that today, if we went to one of these big drug companies and said, you know, let's use messenger RNA, despite the success, people would still doubt it. Do I read that correctly?
Yes, many would. I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you what's remarkable about all their work. So basically, messenger RNA is a molecule. We have it inside us. It delivers the instructions, the message, as it were, from the DNA to the part of the cell where proteins are created to keep us alive. And the dream had always been, well, what if instead we created mRNA, created this molecule in the lab to instruct our body to do anything we wanted? We could actually transform our bodies into drug factories. You want some sort of protein that's at the heart of some shot, some vaccine or some drug? We can give an instruction in the lab, put it in a vaccine, inject it in the body, and ta-da. And that was always the dream, but also people were skeptical for good reasons. mRNA is chopped up really quickly by the cell's enzymes. It lasts just moments, so it's really unstable. It's not something you want to really depend on. The conventional wisdom in the world of science is don't waste your time with mRNA. And as you suggest, there were these two stubborn, persistent scientists at Penn who ignored, forget about the conventional wisdom, they ignored their own colleagues. They ignored the administrators at Penn who said, stop wasting your time on mRNA. And Carrico and Weissman persisted. And they figured out a way to change the chemical basis of this molecule, mRNA, just a little bit. Switching one chemical, it's called uridine, for another one called pseudouridine. And suddenly this mRNA was able to evade the immune system and get into the cells. And why do we want that? Well, then they could instruct the cells to do, they thought, pretty much anything you want. You want to create a protein, you could do it. And it was a remarkable breakthrough that has changed everything and showed the path, showed a way where we could start using mRNA to maybe make therapeutics and vaccines.
Though Carrico and Weissman do not get the company they want to build on their discovery, dated 2005, Moderna, which is a combination of modified and RNA, you get it? It sounds like modern, but it's Moderna. Moderna follows this methodology, and Bansal believes in it, but they're pursuing drugs, not vaccines. Why drugs, Gregory? What is their ambition?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what's interesting about my book is I look at it as sort of it's a relay race in some ways, where someone runs a lap, is strong, some team, some scientist, and then they stumble and fall and they barely pass the baton to the next team. And that's kind of what happened. Carrico and Weissman looked like they were going to be the ones, and they failed. They couldn't raise money. They couldn't convince anyone. They never developed any kind of drug. It's not even clear what they did would have. It was an approach that in concept was a great one, but there was a lot more work that needed to be done. And that's what happened at Moderna. And it was the kind of thing, well, Moderna and Bansal spent years making improvements. And as you suggest, first they tried drugs. And originally the company was called Moderna Therapeutics, not vaccines, because therapeutics, drugs, are kind of what drug companies want to develop. Vaccines are kind of, until this last year, were seen as a loser kind of business. Vaccines are given every year, once a lifetime, maybe every once in a blue moon. There's just so much you can charge for a vaccine. You get pressure, you get criticism if you charge too much, especially in third world countries. Whereas a drug, you know, a statin, every day you take a statin. So for years, Moderna, Bansal and his colleagues tried to develop effective drugs using this messenger RNA molecule, and they failed.
We'll leave them with failure, Gregory. We'll come back to this. The book is A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.